Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Scheich.
Hey people, I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Scheich. Thanks for joining us on this edition of the podcast. Well, today we're going to follow up on a sermon that I delivered last Sunday here at Christ Lincoln in Yankee Hill. So last Sunday would be May the 18th. And encourage you, if you have not yet watched that sermon, if you aren't able to be with us in worship, to go watch that. That will help set the context for you for the podcast. And the sermon, by the way, I didn't give credit on Sunday morning, but I need to do that. The sermon, in large part, well, actually, I did talk about Pastor Michael, but in large part, he informed and helped shape my thinking as I approached that sermon. So great teamwork there, Pastor Michael. Thanks to him for speaking through me on Sunday, and I hope I did him justice. But anyway, last Sunday's sermon was based on the text, if you will. It was a parable preaching sermon. Was based on a Marvel movie called Avengers Infinity War. And it was about this great war that took place between the Avengers and the Guardians of the Galaxy versus Thanos, a guy named Thanos, whose name in Greek means death. And so Thanos indeed was setting out to gather 6 Infinity Stones in the movie so that he could have infinite power. And with that power, he was going to improve the world and improve the lot of humanity. How was he going to improve humanity? Well, he was going to kill off half of humanity if he had the power, because as he stated very clearly a couple of times and was stated about him a couple of times in the movie, the world has far too many people. That's the first problem with the world. And the second problem is very limited resources. And so the only way to deal with that problem long term is to get rid of half the people. And so he set out to do that and indeed did that in the movie, by the end of the movie. So sorry if I've messed up the ending of the movie for you. But we talked about that last Sunday in terms of what would you do if you had infinite power and so forth, and saw that in our hearts we have the same kind of thought processes. A lot of times we have the same kind of inclinations, and maybe life would turn out the same for us as it did for Thanos, that we have really a Thanos kind of thinking in our hearts. We saw that come out when people in the 20th century had almost infinite power, people like Hitler and Mao and Stalin and those guys. So, but along the way, I mentioned just briefly in the sermon that Thanos's view of the world and the world's problems, namely that there are far too many people and far too much of a limitation on resources, that Thanos's view of the world's problem was wrong, in fact, diametrically opposed to reality. And I said it would be a good topic for a podcast to be able to kind of go through that. So I want to do that today. I want to go through that with you so that you understand the situation that we face as a world. And the truth is, we do not have a problem with overpopulation. We have a problem with, in fact, too few people being born. And I'll show you that and demonstrate that for you throughout the podcast. So where does this idea come from, that we have too many people in the world? Well, the first place I know of that it was kind of popularized, this was not the beginning of that idea, but Paul Ehrlich, a guy named Dr. Paul Ehrlich, in 1968 wrote a book called The Population Bomb. And basically in that book said, to summarize it in kind of one or two sentences, that the world's population was exploding. Think about the 1960s, so we're talking a while ago. The world's population was exploding. And if we didn't do something about it, that there would be famines and pestilence and death all over the planet, because the planet simply could not sustain the growth that was happening amongst human beings. All right. Well, as a matter of fact, Paul Ehrlich's predictions did not come true. But did that stop him from trying to make more money and continuing to spout those theories? No, it did not. He continued all the way into the 21st century for 50, I don't know how I can count the years, but 50 years or more to spout those kinds of theories that there are too many human beings on planet Earth. Of late, of the last 10 years or so, I've began to hear more and more people in many different areas of life across political spectrums say Paul Ehrlich was wrong. And in fact, humanity's in trouble, not from overpopulation, but from underpopulation, from too few people being born. And one of the latest people to jump on that bandwagon, and I'll show you this video from a couple of years ago, but even to today, one of the people that's kind of touting the fact that the lack of the small birth rate is a problem is none other than Elon Musk. So let's take a look at just a little short clip here from Elon.
I think a lot of people think that there's too many people on the planet, but I think there's, in fact, too few, and that the possibly the single greatest risk to human civilization is the rapidly diminishing birth rate. And the facts are out there for anyone to look at. But a lot of people are still stuck with, you know, Paul Ehrlich's book, Population Bomb. And it's like, that was a long time ago. That is not the case today. There was a massive notch in demographics last year because the birth rate plummeted, and also this year. So, I mean, if you know, no babies, no humanity. You got to come from somewhere.
Okay, so that's Elon Musk, and he's been saying that now for a couple of years. I will take issue with one thing he said there, and that is this, that he kind of indicated that back in Paul Ehrlich's day, Paul Ehrlich was right, but now things have changed. As a matter of fact, Paul Ehrlich was never right. But indeed, things have gotten worse, but the trajectory has not changed. The fundamental issues that we face as human beings have not changed. Paul Ehrlich was mistaken in his view from day one. And so I'll take issue with Elon on that, although I think Elon Musk is far smarter than I am. Let me go through some statistics for you, and then I'll do some other things here. Okay, so I put a graph on the screen if you're watching on YouTube, and this is the total fertility rates for select countries in 2010. How this graph selected these countries, I have no idea. And actually, this comes from, I think, 2008, but nevertheless, you get the idea. So basically, what you have is a number of countries listed on the left-hand side of the screen and how many babies per woman they're having. And basically, the deal is, if you don't know the numbers, that you need about 2.1 births per female in order to maintain human population, 2.1 or so, because, you know, people die or whatever. So you need at least 2.1 babies born per. I'm not sure who's having the 0.1. But in any case, if you go below 2.1, then you're below replacement rate. Your population over time will shrink. And that's really almost never happened in history until modern times. And so we don't really know completely what the effect is when, let's say, a country like, in this case, on this graph, Poland, has a birth rate of about, looks like about 1.3 per woman. The thought is that at some point, as the birth rate gets down toward, maybe down toward 1, in the neighborhood of 1.3, 1.5, whatever it might be, drops to a certain extent, the culture is doomed, that it will never recover. And so in this particular graph, you have countries like Poland, Russia, Latvia, Bulgaria, China, Sweden, all below 2 in their fertility rates as of 2008, according to the UN World Population Statistics. The United States is at about 2.05 or something like that. And then other countries are, in this particular graph, have more kids, like Rwanda and Zambia are up around 5. So they're no trouble at all. And so there you go. Let's take another look at another graph here. This is a graph where women are having the fewest children as of 2017. So this lists 10 countries that have the lowest birth rate as far as studies have been done. Japan at 1.3, Moldova, Poland, and Bosnia-Herzegovina all at 1.3, Thailand, Puerto Rico, Andorra, and South Korea at 1.2, and Taiwan and Cyprus at 1.1. So statisticians and people who study these things say that essentially all these countries, all these ethnic groups will disappear in the next 100 years. They'll be gone. Like Japan, there'll be no more Japanese people. Now, maybe Japanese in the United States are having more kids, and that'll repopulate the Japanese population, or South Korea, or whatever. But these nations will these ethnic groups will disappear off the face of the earth. And they don't, and statisticians don't know if this could be reversed, if it's too late to reverse this. They're not sure. So it's a serious issue that our planet is facing. And I wanted to call that to your attention. There's an article that I found called Why Dr. Ehrlich Should Stop Worrying About the Population Bomb and Love Humanity. It's you can find it on a website called econlib.org. And I wanted to just read some of that to you so you have some idea of what it says. This was published in 2021, and it gives you a sense of some of the challenges that we face as human beings. Okay, why Dr. Ehrlich should stop worrying about the population bomb and love humanity. In a short piece published recently in Nature, Stanford University professor emeritus and population bomber extraordinaire Paul Ehrlich worries that overpopulation, one of the most important factors in the hunger nexus, is not discussed by the scientific group for the UN Food System Summit in 2021. In other words, the UN Food System Summit met in 2021 and did not deal with overpopulation. And Paul Ehrlich wonders why not. Well, because it's not really a factor. But anyway, he says, the article continues, this is a mistake because continuing population growth could overwhelm even current levels of nutrition. Well, he's been saying that for 50 years. And in fact, the world is less poor than it was when he started saying it. So anyway, back to the article. The biologist, a key proposition usually is traced back to an influential essay written by Thomas Robert Malthus over 200 years ago. So in other words, that's where the start of this whole thing happened. Ehrlich popularized it. Malthus has said that a significant reduction in human numbers would benefit the remaining inhabitants of the Earth by giving them access to more and better resources. As was already obvious in Malthus's day, however, a more numerous population in which individuals specialize in what they do best and trade with each other is always better off than a smaller one. Anyone concerned about the number of human beings is viewing them as merely consumers. People, however, are both consumers and producers. Their potential for wealth creation increases tremendously through trade and technological innovation. In other words, Ehrlich and Malthus before him is looking myopically at humanity as consumers. And they're forgetting the fact that human beings also produce. And so the more producers there are, the more production you'll have. They're just missing that whole part of the equation, is what this article is saying. Okay, let's continue on here. I'll skip down a little bit. In 1879, the American economist Henry George observed that many communities still increasing in population were also increasing their wealth faster. Indeed, among communities of similar people, that's the key, in a similar stage of civilization, that's the key, the most densely populated community is the richest. So think Hong Kong, for instance, okay? And the evidence was overwhelming that wealth is greatest where population is densest, again, think Hong Kong, that the production of wealth to a given amount of labor increases as population increases. The richest countries were therefore not those where nature is most prolific, but those where labor is most efficient. In other words, not Mexico, but Massachusetts. Not Brazil, but England. Think about the size of Brazil compared to the size of England. Which country is richer? That's the point. Where nature provides few resources, George commented, 20 men working together will produce more than 20 times the wealth that one man can produce where nature is most bountiful. This was because the denser the population, the more minute becomes the subdivision of labor, the greater the economies of production and distribution, and hence the very reverse of the Malthusian doctrine is true. In other words, let's go one more paragraph and then I'll go back to me. As was also well understood by many commentators, the greater the number of engaged human beings, the greater the likelihood of new beneficial inventions. As the British political economist William Petty observed, it was more likely that one ingenious, curious man may rather be found amongst 4 million than amongst 400. In other words, if you got 4 million people, likely one of them going to be pretty inventive, pretty creative, and be able to do quite a bit for the rest of the 4 million. But if you only have 400, likely there's nobody there who's going to invent anything great or make any great advances for mankind. Okay, so that's kind of the deal there. Just to give you an idea of the numbers of people in the world. Now, I calculated this, and I'm a pastor, not a mathematician, but I think the calculation is correct. You can check it out if you want. If we put every person on the planet into the state of Texas, each person would have a 20 by 36 foot piece of property to call their own. So let reflect on that for a moment. When we think about the how many people could the planet carry as it flies through space? Right now, every person on the planet could be moved into the state of Texas, which is a big state. Every person could be moved into the state of Texas and have a space bigger than the room I'm sitting in to call their own. And I'm sitting in a pretty big room, actually. My office is pretty big. You should come see it if you haven't seen it. All right. So, wow, there's maybe room for more people. Okay. I wouldn't want to put a whole lot more in Hong Kong, but there's room for more people. All right. So there you go with that. Last thing, I'll end with this because, well, maybe we should have started with this. God said in Genesis chapter 1, let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea, the birds in the sky, over the livestock, and over all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. A lot of times you ask people, what's the first commandment? And they'll say, well, the first commandment, oh, let me think, with their confirmation, thou shalt have no other gods. Well, guess what? That's not the first commandment. The first commandment God gave was in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28. Be fruitful and increase in number. And so I'll end the podcast this way. It's important for us, those who follow Jesus, to also follow the commandments of Scripture, to be fruitful and increase in number. Now, God's not given each and every one of us the ability to be fruitful. I've seen that in my own life, where Melinda and I were infertile, and so we adopted three kids, three wonderful children, but nevertheless had kids. God's command to us is be fruitful and to multiply. As I look around, I'm especially proud of this, as I look around the community at our Christ Lincoln's Yankee Hill campus, I see that people, by and large, young married couples are following God's command and following it vigorously, up to the point of having a number of families with three, four, five kids. And that's exciting when you see that, when you see people being able to raise these kids up in the faith and kind of get beyond that 2.1 birth rate that is barely replacement for our nation, for our culture, for the Christian church, but instead shoot for three, four, five. Love to see that. So, I'm being a little funny there, trying to be funny. Maybe I'm not being funny, but I'm not condemning people that have one or two or zero, as the case might be in our case, zero biological kids because we weren't able to do that. But nevertheless, well, I could end by saying we tried. But anyway, I think I'll just end there. Give me your thoughts. Thanks for listening. Write us at eaglesonthehill211@gmail.com. Let us know what you think about the podcast. I'm very happy to have you with us today. Remember that those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength and soar on wings like eagles. Thanks for flying with us today. Have a good day.